what to make of the violence this weekend in Arizona. You know, thinking about this weekend's young shooter reminds us how really familiar we are to these assassination attempts, these endings of sort of personal narratives in violence that then explodes upon the headlines and conceivably changes history.
You know, you don't think about it. This what happened in Arizona was such a surprise that that's all you think about for a while, the shock. But then there are echoes throughout our country's history that make this in some ways more tragic.
Well, certainly a surprise to the people who were there in Tucson. And, of course, Gabrielle Giffords is in critical condition, shot through the head. Medical condition at this point is critical. She survives, and there are hopeful signs, but we'll know more about that in the morning. But let's reflect a little more on the broader historical narrative here. Joining us is Douglas Brinkley, historian and professor at Rice University and author of The Wilderness Warrior about Teddy Roosevelt and the Great Deluge. Douglas, good morning.
Good morning to you.
So when I heard the reports and had a little chance to think about what had gone on, and as details began to emerge of this 22-year-old, antisocial, very angry individual, obviously, it reminded me of the assassination in 1901 of President McKinley in Buffalo, New York, an anarchist by the name of Leon, I believe I got this pronunciation right, Czolgosz.
Well, that's right. William McKinley was at the exposition in Milwaukee, and Czolgosz was in Chicago. Had read that he was going to be there in like 10 days and took a train up, stayed in a lodge, in Buffalo, and started waiting for McKinley, and eventually got in a line, wrapped his revolver up and concealed it, and got in a meet-and-greet line with President McKinley and shot him. They were able to take him away, the would-be assassin, and McKinley lived for a few days, but eventually McKinley died and Theodore Roosevelt was sworn in. The country was perplexed because they wanted to label the murderer, and as you said, anarchist was the best term they could conjure, but he seemed to be sort of an inverted human or a malignant narcissist of some kind, and even though he had some ties with Emma Goldman, the anarchist, he was just a psychologically deranged guy.
And, you know, we tend to sometimes impute the motives of these individuals to make more of themselves, to give their lives meaning, to change history. I mean, in the case of Czolgosz, he actually did change history. Teddy Roosevelt's ascension to the presidency was a gigantic moment in history. This is a much smaller, different kind of event. But again, the consequences are unknown as we look at the history of events like this.
Well, look, absolutely, and I teach American history, and you always have to deal with violence. Our country in particular has a very long kind of anti-alien tradition where there's an anger at immigrants, and you certainly feel it around the border in Arizona, New Mexico, Texas today. But, I mean, we've had the Know-Nothing political party that was anti-Catholic and Mormon and American Protective Association in the 19th century, and the Red Scare in 1919, and the Ku Klux Klan all over the South and Midwest in the 1920s, McCarthyism and the Birchers, and we could go on and on. I mean, not too long ago, we had the tragedy in Oklahoma City when there's an anti-federal activity, and then you have just strange cases of weird people. Recently, the attack on the Discovery headquarters in Washington, for
right.
example, or shooting at the Holocaust Museum. But that we're a country of guns, and if our First Amendment is free speech, the second is the right to bear arms. And unfortunately, with as many millions as we have, you're going to get some really deranged people that acquire firearms.
We're a country of guns, but as you really eloquently describe in your work and right there in speaking, we're also a nation where there's a kind of a shadow of ambiguity that moves around the nation in our history, where it's sort of okay to take matters into your own hands because of the political climate of the times. It happens to be in this particular area of Arizona right now, and again, we don't know what the cause is or the motives of the specific shooter is, but that place where it's sort of okay to take matters into your own hands moves around the nation and has existed in various places throughout our history.
Well, exactly. And in the 1950s, Norman Mailer wrote a very seminal article called The White Negro, when he was looking at it, the outlaw ethos, very controversial in America, where he's talking about the geek, the nobody, and how sometimes they will assert themselves on mainstream culture. It was a look at the sociopath in America in many ways. And it kind of became a famous article because look what happened in the 60s with Medgar Evers killed in Mississippi and Malcolm X in New York and King in Memphis and the Kennedys and leading into the George Wallace shooting. And even Gerald Ford was almost shot by Squeaky Fromm in San Francisco. I mean, it became almost a wave of this against the political establishment. And it comes at a time when fear is sky high, that people are afraid that they're going to lose their rights or people are trying to take away from them things that are part either inherent in the Constitution or that they're getting the short end of the American stick.
Well, Douglas Brinkley, you talk about fear being rampant at this point. I mean, there's always going to be a certain amount, number of disturbed people who take innocent lives tragically. Is it a good question at this point to talk about why politicians are being targeted, why the threats against politicians' lives have gone up, some say 30% to 40% over the past few years?
Well, it is the time. That's what this is going to trigger. I will tell you, and I love the Arizona and New Mexico. The Southwest is one of my favorite places. I write wildlife, nature, history, and to go, that it's a nirvana in those states. But you can't help when you're traveling to the Grand Canyons and Carlsbad Caverns of noticing how this kind of cult of the outlaw figure, just recently they were debating in New Mexico whether to pardon Billy the Kid,
who was
a cold-blooded murderer. They make folklore figures out of people that stand up to the federal government, and that's what I hope doesn't happen out of this week, that this deranged young man isn't have his face put on TV so much that you start getting people imitating him and mimicking his horrific behavior. But it's sad that this is on the rise now, and I do think we need to ask these questions. Do our Congress people and federal judges need better protection than we're giving them in a world where semi-automatic weapons and guns with scopes are just so easy to acquire?
Well, and those questions are certainly being asked, but as someone with a long view, do you think events like this are anomalies, or are they in some sense predestined by the way we do evoke the outlaw and the independent individual?
I think when you turn on our television, there's so many shows that have these kind of making heroes out of Charlie Manson's or prison lockup programs. And, our culture of celebrity, you're going to have the deranged narcissist wanting to get famous, and they'll take a shot at a John Lennon or Ronald Reagan, and they don't even know why. It perplexes us because these are great people that are getting maimed and shot and killed, and we can't believe that a loser can wreck so much havoc on our democratic society.
Well, we thank you for that perplexed thoughtfulness at the end of this hour. Douglas Brinkley, historian and professor at Rice University, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we've been getting questions and reactions to the shooting in Arizona from many of you.
Why is there no talk of the elephant in the room, which is gun control? All this talk about vitriolic speech, but what about the availability of guns? Don't we have background checks for people with psychiatric trouble?
To answer you, Elaine, calling from New York, in Arizona, the criminal background check only checks mental health records for those who've been committed or found mentally defective in court. Give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.